The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, we've got a Facebook Live. So I did a Facebook Live in the last couple of days, and of course, not everybody can watch the Facebook Lives, but the information in those Facebook Live events are really important. So I wanted to share them, and I wanted to get them down as a podcast. And so here is that Facebook Live. Speak soon.
And good morning, everybody. Today is Friday morning. It's 8:43 here in Spain, so it's 7:45 in England. And in this morning's video, I was going to go through, and in fact, I am going to go through, the four asset classes, because this is really important. If you're not quite sure what these asset classes are, it's really important that you actually understand what these are so that you can work out what strategy you're going to implement in order to build your wealth long term. So there's four asset classes, and let's just run through them, and then we'll give an explanation of each one. Each one is useful, and each one has its own level of risk associated with it, so we'll include the level of risk as well. So the first asset class that you have is in business. So a business can be classed as high risk. Depends on the business. You could be doing a network marketing business. That reduces the risk somewhat. Good morning, Marcus. A network marketing business will reduce the risk somewhat because you're already working off a system that's already in place and working, maybe for quite some time. There's still some risk associated with that. So Clean Easy, for example, is a network marketing business, and that's just gone down. That's been in place like 125 years or something like that. The other type of business you could get involved with is a franchise. A franchise also has a certain level of risk removed because it's a tried and tested format. Or you could start up on your own business. Now, the mistake that a lot of people make when starting up their own business is that they will do, you know, they'll go out and they'll buy the photocopier and the hat stand and the water cooler and the printer and the computers and all this stuff. I don't know what we're going to sell yet, or we've got a vague idea. They haven't worked out the product. We don't know who the target audience is. We don't know where we're going to get income from. And so they're spending a lot of money up front and then end up with no money coming through. And they use this excuse of, well, I can't sell anything yet because I'm not ready. I'm waiting for my business cards, my website, my logo, all this irrelevant stuff. Like, can you sell without a website? Of course you bloody well can. We closed 47 people on Bitcoin just before Christmas that were all without a website. Okay, so we can do that. You can do it using Facebook groups. You can do it using Facebook pages. You can sign up to MailChimp, for example, which for less than 500 subscribers, free of charge. You create a web form. You get them on a strategy session. So there's lots of different ways of doing it. Now, depending on how much money you've got will determine which asset class you go into as well. So if you've got no money, starting a business is a great way of starting your wealth. My lettings agency, which we paid, we paid maybe £10 for a domain name and then £5 a month for hosting. And that lettings agency grew and grew and grew to the extent that every month we were getting 35,000 visitors to the website, which is phenomenal, right? That's like 1,000 people a day walking through your shop. They were hitting our website every day. So we went from like a £10 website to 35,000. Yeah, it took some time. But yeah, we also sold that that business for some money as well. So that was nice, right? And it provided cash flow, and it really came from nothing. This is called the peanut principle, which is basically where you start something from hardly spending any money at all. That's what we want to do. We don't want to spend. So whilst business can be risky because, you know, so for example, when we had a furniture package company, and when we when the markets changed in 2008-09, like the bottom fell out of investing, nobody bought furniture packages anymore because nobody was buying property, okay? So that business sort of collapsed to some extent, and we had an opportunity to sell it like 2 years before, and we should have sold it. Remember, the professional gambler knows when to take his money off the table. And we just thought, well, we'll just be in it forever. It's crazy thinking, crazy. The professional gambler knows when to take the money off the table. Good morning, Michael. So you've got to know when to sell your business. So you've always got to work out what your exit strategy is going to be. Like you might say, well, I'm going to be in this business forever, or I'm just going to let it peter out. It's just there to serve a purpose and that sort of thing. That's fine. So if you've got no money, you could start a business. You can go door to door selling. And I've said this to people and I get a lot of abuse back for it, which is fine. And I say, you know, go knocking on doors and go, excuse me, mister, can I go wash your car for £3? And, you know, like, who's going to say no to that? £3? Of course you can, mate. Or if you said, you know, if you really got no money and you're like, okay, excuse me, mister, can I wash your car? I'm trying to put food on the table for my family this week. And I haven't got a job, you know, can I wash your car for £3? Like, who's going to say no to that? Loads of people will say yes. And I see people saying, I need to buy this product. It's £47 and I can't buy this product because of X, Y, and Z. I've got no money and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, that's 10 cars at £4.70 each, right? Or it's 20 cars at whatever half of that, £2.35 is each. Like, you can go and do that. It just takes a bit of effort to go and do it. Anyway, so that's the business one. Okay, number two is, so this is in order of risk. So I'll put, I'm confused as to which one to put because I don't know. For me, it's less risky. For you, it might be more risky. So let's put property. Property for me is a non-risky venture. It depends what you're doing with it. But for me, it's a second asset class. It's not that risky for me because I've been doing it for 20 years. Now think about what risk actually means, right? Risk assumes a level of knowledge. And when people go, oh, you don't want to do that, it's risky. Oh, no, it's risky for you. It's not risky for me because I've been doing it for 20 odd years. We've seen everything that could possibly happen. We've had the cannabis farm. We've seen tenants, you know, scrawl on the walls and rip everything up and ruin a place. We've had all that. We've had all the wiring nicked. We've had boilers stolen. We've had all that. And I'm still saying that property for me is not that risky. Okay, because it gives us regular income. When you're first starting out and you've got one or two properties, then it's risky. Because if one property's empty and then the other goes empty, you've got 100% non-tenancy, right? But when you get like 60 or 100 properties and one goes down, that's all right. That's like 1% of your income. Does that make sense? So it depends on how much you've actually got. But to get into property, this is the problem. So let's just put this. In business, you need like £10 to get started. And I would even argue you don't even need £10. £10 will buy you a domain name. Like LCN.com every so often have £1 domain name sales. And if you go type domain names for a pound, you'll find one, right? So you don't even need the £10. And you point the domain name to a web form, something like that, and you can start your business. There you go. You don't even need that. You just need a Facebook group, right? You can start a business. Property. Like, how much money do you need to get started in property? Now, there's two aspects here. If you're investing in property, you're going to need some money. You're going to need £30,000, £40,000, £50,000 just as deposits, maybe some work, some money to spend on doing a property up. If you want to go into property refurbishment, we advise about £60,000 to £70,000. That's what we advise. But you'll be making £20,000 a time back off that. So it's a good return, okay? But you could be doing lease options, which doesn't need anywhere near that amount. You could be doing rent to rent, which is free of charge. You don't need to pay any money to get started with rent to rent. Quick drink of coffee there. So if you go down the rent to rent route, which is basically where you have a landlord who's maybe fed up of being a landlord, and you go to the landlord, okay, this £600 property, I'll give you £400 a month and we'll do that for the next 7 or 10 years. Which one would you prefer? And they'll go, 10 years. Great. Then you take the £400 a month property, that's how much rent you're paying him, and then you rent it out to somebody else at £600 and you're making £200 profit. How many of them do you need? Say 10, that's £2,000 a month. That for most people will cover all their costs. Okay. So it just depends what you're doing. But property, if you're doing it for refurb or if you're going into buy-to-let where you're owning the asset, you're going to need about £30,000 just for deposits. But this is what's really important, okay, is that if you're doing rent-to-rent or if you're doing a lease option, my issue with those is that it's very short-term. Like a lease option is basically like rent-to-rent with a deadline where you've agreed in 10 years' time I'll buy it at X price. That's what a lease option is. But you don't actually get to own the asset, okay? And to some extent, there's some truth in it's not about what you own, it's about what you control, for sure. But also, what you're going to leave to your kids. You might want to wrap this into a trust then it can, your kids can't sell it, for example, and can just live off the revenue, but there's tax implications on trusts. I don't know if you remember, it was last year sometime, the Duke of, or Earl of Westminster, or whatever he is, got past something like, I don't know, a couple of billion pounds worth of property. And there was a massive thing about it because it was passed in as a trust. He didn't pay any tax on it. And everyone's in arms. All the Daily Mail readers and Sun readers are having massive issues about it because they're ignorant. They don't understand just how much tax they actually pay on a trust, which is, I think it's 6 or 7% a year on a trust, on its income, right? So like everyone's complaining that he didn't pay tax, but actually he did pay tax. But anyway, you want to consider what you're going to do in terms of your legacy and what you're going to pass on with property. And it's the same with business. You could put that into a trust as well, so all the income gets passed on to your kids. Okay, number three is stocks and shares. See, it depends what you're doing with this one. Stocks and shares, for me, there's two aspects to it, okay? The first one is you take your money and you put it into the S&P 500, you put it into the FTSE 100, you put it into something that's going to take the average. And Warren Buffett had a bet with stockbrokers, and he said he's just going to put $1 million into, like, they call them mutual funds in the US, but he's going to put $1 million into a mutual fund and let it just track the thing for the next 10 years. And that was versus the stockbrokers going in and picking and choosing particular stocks to move the money in and out of to make as much profit. And Warren Buffett won that bet. It was like a $1 bet or a $100 bet. It wasn't for a lot, but it cost him $1 million to put into it. But Warren Buffett actually beat the stockbrokers. The average will beat the stockbrokers every time. So that's the first way of doing it. Lower risk. You just put some money in. This is what your pension does. And if you're not in control of your pension, you need to take a lot more control over it, because that thing will just disappear. There's a lot of dodgy people out there. You need to be really educated and financially literate about this stuff, because it scares the bejeebies out of me that people just give them money. They don't look at where the money's going. That's not for me. They'd much rather spend 30 minutes choosing wallpaper or discussing EastEnders than looking at where the money's actually gone. Really, I mean, look at British Home Stores and what happened with that pension. It causes me sleepless nights, I'll be honest with you. Not too much, because I don't have my money in pensions in that way, and if I do, I'm in control of them. But stocks and shares, go with the average. And also, by the way, this does not constitute financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just saying what I'm doing, okay, for those legal people out there. So the other way of doing stocks and shares is that you can buy Amazon stock, or you can buy Apple stock, or you can buy Heinz stock. So Warren Buffett's just bought into Apple, and he's got Heinz and he's got Gillette. He likes things that people consume and then have to consume again. So it's got a long-term opportunity. And when he goes all in, and he puts the management, keeps management in place, doesn't swap them out or anything, but he likes a controlling interest, so he's still got control. So that's stocks and shares. Like, to get involved in stocks and shares, like, you could start with, say, 100 quid, but frankly, what's the point, right? What's 100 quid going to get you at 7% return per annum for the next 20 years? Like, 300 quid, maybe? Oh, wow, that's going to change your life, isn't it? I would put the 100 quid into a business, start a bloody business, spend £10 on a domain name, the other 90 quid, sending traffic to the domain name, which is a web form, and start doing Facebook Lives and so on. So now the least risky, so this is in the level of risk. Okay, so the least risky for me is number four. Can anybody guess what asset number four is? I'll tell you. So asset number four is you. And the investment to get started investing in you is zero. Because you can read a book. And you could go, well, I still have to buy a book. But you could go to the library. You could borrow books. You could watch YouTube videos. You could sign up for every single webinar ever. Which I mean, I dread to think how many hours that takes up. But you could do. There's so many things that you could do on this. You could go to a second-hand bookstore. We took our kids to the second-hand bookstore, and we ended up with like 30 books for like, I don't know, what was it? It was like 10 pence a book. We spent like £5 or something like that. And so we got a ton of second-hand books, because it's not like people have such issues with second-hand. And it's like, but the information's still the same. There's not pages missing just because it's second-hand content. Does that make sense? Like, if it's a jumper, then, yeah, there's wear and tear on a jumper. But there's not wear and tear on information. So I don't have issues with that. And I never have done. You look at how many books I actually bought. We've given most of them away now. But when you look at how many books we actually bought, we had, like, walls full of books. Absolutely, the whole wall was just full of books. So when you look at what the investment is to buy all those, it's quite significant. But when you're buying second-hand off Amazon, which you usually get for, like, £1.80 or £2.80, the book is a pound, and I think delivery is, like, £2.80, something like that. But you can do it that way, okay? Oh, with lots of free content, lots of webinars, lots of Facebook Lives like this one, lots of YouTube stuff that you could go look at. Now, I just want to clarify a couple of things here as well, because I think that people get this wrong. So when you're first starting out, and this is what people get wrong, they come to me and they go, I want to get involved in property. I want to start buy to let. I want to be a millionaire by next weekend. That's what people say. And there's a problem with that, okay? The problem is that they fail to understand the level of work it takes to become a property millionaire. It is significant, but it's not impossible because I've done it, right? So so we know that's a fact. But the timescales that it takes depends on the strategy that you're implementing and your level of risk as well. But this is what most people do. They come to me and they go, okay, I got, I don't know, 10 grand. So I've got £10,000, and I want to invest in property. Well, if a deposit is 30 grand, how can you get 10 grand and get 30 grand out of it? That's not realistic. It's like saying, I want one sausage, but, oh no, I've got one sausage, but I want three sausages. Well, where do the other two sausages come from? Where's the other 20 grand coming from? You've got to make that 20 grand. It just doesn't appear. This is one of the problems that people come to me with, is they go, I've got no money. I've got £500 and I'm saving £100 a month, which is great, right? But that's not going to make you a property millionaire in the next 12 months. I mean, it might do, but what are the chances? What are the probabilities of that? So that's my issue with this stuff. So people have to understand that there's a set process you have to go through. There's a stepping stone process of building wealth. Okay, so let's run through what that is. So look, if you've got less than 50 grand, so if you've got less than £50,000, okay, you need to be starting a business. And I'll tell you why. To get started with less than 50 grand, to accelerate the results as quickly as possible, you need to be buying property below market value, you need to be refurbing it, and then you need to put it back on the open market value, and you need to do all of that within 4 or 5 months, okay? And make 20 grand a time. So if you're doing that with 50 grand plus 20,000, you've now got 70,000. Do that one more time in the next 4 or 5 months, okay? Which will get you 90,000. Now you can do 2x. You can do twice as many, okay? Because you've got 90 grand, that's 45 grand per property. Now you're doing two properties every 4 or 5 months, making 20 grand per property. So now you're making 40 grand. So let's do that maths. So what you got 90 grand split over two, 90, so 20k profit. That's assuming you can get 20k profit. So you're now up to 130k. Now you can do three properties at the same time. You cascade them. You do one month, and then you start the other the next month. You've got to have a good team in place. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to get experience. But look how quickly the numbers ramp up. So if you're doing three of those, now you're up to 190. You could probably do four of those. So that's another 80 grand. So that's 270. Suddenly, in sort of 2 or 3 years, you've got £270,000. Now, at some point, you want to be putting that property, that money into a buy-to-let, something that you're going to hold, maybe a HMO. But if you've got less than £50,000, like, what are you going to do? But yeah, there's a couple of other things you could do. You could go put the money in stocks and shares. But stocks and shares, you know, say 40 grand you've got, or 30 grand, let's say 30 grand. 30 grand at 7% for the next 10 years. Like, what's that really going to give you? It's not going to be great, is it? You know, it's not going to change your life in 10 years, okay? Whereas if you had a business, and this is what most people don't get. And by the way, you can still have a business doing property. Don't get me wrong. So you could have a business doing property sourcing, for example. So if you've got less than £50,000, 50K, let's just run through the type of businesses that are involved in property. So sourcing, for example. So on property sourcing, you could earn, say, let's say £3,000 per property deal. So you find a house, it's worth 100, you negotiate it down to 70, and then you sell that deal onto one of your buyers that you have lined up for it, and you make, let's say, £3,000. £3,000's a nice number. So how many property deals do you need to get to £50,000? My other phone's in the house on charge, so I can't do the maths. But it's, what's £50,000 divided by 3? 10 is 30. It's about 15 deals. Gets you to 45. So 17 deals will get you there. So then you see, okay, if it's 17 deals. So look at this. If you could do a deal and a half every single month, okay, that will get you, in 12 months, your £50,000. Then you take the £50,000 and you start buying property. You put £30,000 down, spend £20,000 up doing it, and you get £20,000 back. Then we're into property refurbishment, but at the same time, while you're building your team, you're getting your experience, you're also sourcing more deals. So in another 12 months, you're doing another 17 deals, you get another £50,000. And whilst that's also happening, your property refurb stuff here, your property refurb stuff is also going up, and you're making a lot of money doing that. Is that making sense? Just have a quick drink. This is what people don't get. So that's one deal you could do, or one type of business that you could run. You could run property sourcing. What else could you do? You could do a lettings agency. Lettings are taking a bit of a kick in right now because of the change in, you know, you can't take upfront fees from tenants and that kind of thing. So the question is, how quickly will it take you to earn £50,000 as a lettings agency? Well, quite a bit of time, actually, because the competition is really high. For me, property sourcing is easier than running a lettings agency these days. But I own a estate agency, but you've got to understand that the legislation is the same. If you're a property sourcer, you've got to be compliant, and a lot of property sourcers are not compliant. One of my clients, Tina Walsh, has got a great book that you should read called Property Sourcing Compliance, and she talks about how to be compliant so that you're legal. You don't want that knock on the door from the ombudsman saying you're not compliant and you get fined, you know, you're breaking the law and that kind of thing, so you've got to be compliant. But letting is going to take a while. If you win, you know, if you're really interested in property, go get a job in a lettings agency. That will really open your eyes to how to run and manage your tenants better. And it gets you closer to property, gets you closer to landlords. And if you're sourcing deals as well, you can pass a deal on to a landlord, they'll buy it from you, and then you can do the lettings management of that property as well. So what we started with was, we started with four different asset classes. And then we went through the risk exposure of each one. We also went on about how to really accelerate those results. And really, you should be investing in property at like £50,000. That's minimum, bare minimum for me, in my opinion, when you're starting to refurb. And you do want to refurb because then you can make a lot of profit, pull that profit back out, and that goes into your next deal. And then you can just, you know, grow these deals that you're doing every single month and start doing quite a lot. And the money from that can go back into buying buy-to-let property. But if you're not at £50,000 yet, you need to be running a business, something that's going to generate a lot of cash flow. So if you want to be a property sourcer, then just send me a message, because we've got the guy that does it. He's really, really good, and all he does is property sourcing. Like, we used to train on property sourcing, and we're very good at it. But, you know, we don't do it all day long, and that's all we do. We do lots of different things, because that suits more with my personality. Just doing the same old thing day after day for me gets really dull, and I can't do it. I get fed up. But for the guy that we use, he loves that stuff, and he's just, you know, that's all he does. So if you want to get into property sourcing, then speak to me about that. If you want to get in about property refurbing and learn how to take all of your money back out, then speak to me about that. If you want to know how to get a business up and running for 10 quid, you know, and on just on a domain name, then we'll show you how to do that. We'll even do a Facebook Live about it if you want us to. But we're an open book. You just come and ask us and we'll go through it. But the four asset classes are important. Everyone talks about businesses, property, and stocks and shares, and no one talks about you. So let's talk about that for a few moments, because I think that's really important. So this year already, I got back from Santorini, which was beautiful, by the way, and we did Billionaire Bootcamp. And since I got back, we've only been back about 4 weeks, my business has exploded again. And it was going a little bit slower. And it was all mindset, by the way. It was all mindset. We weren't really doing much different. It was just me and about how I felt about business. And I was tired and all of that kind of thing. And I'd taken some time off for six or eight months just to sort of recuperate. And then when we came back, we're like, oh, no, we want to run the business slightly differently. And then we had the mindset in place. And that's what Billionaire Bootcamp did. There's another one coming up in Poland in July, by the way, if you want to attend that with me. I'll be there more than likely. And it's called Million Dollar Mastermind now. It's not mine. I'm not running it. My mentor, Chris Howard, is running it. But if you want to come and get that mindset shift, you should go and do that, by the way. Before that, we did platform and speaker training. I know you can't tell. We did platform and speaker training, and that was really good. That was in Dublin. And then before that, I think it was London in January. So already this year, Billionaire Bootcamp was 7 days, platform and speaker skills was 5 days, and the other was 4 days. So we spent 18 days. We were only at the start of May. It's only the 11th of May today. We've already done, 15 days? Is that what I said? 15 days of training already this year. Because the number one asset class for me is me. I am the biggest thing that can generate the most money, okay? Like, once your assets are in place, they should be starting to generate the most money. But if I want to accelerate those results, I've got to get off my butt and start closing some business. And I've then got to take that money and put that into assets, and that generates more cash. Then that can go into more assets, so that generates more cash. Now, I'm very lucky, because while I took 6 or 8 months off, my cash was generating all my income from my properties. So all the money I'd put in for the last 20 years, and we've been investing for 20 years, all that money was generating cash flow each and every month. We paid all our bills and left us with some decent cash left over so we could pay into more training or that kind of thing, or just go on holiday or just do nothing, right? But that's where our asset classes come in, because that, you know, something happens to me, the money still comes in from my asset class. But right now we're getting out there and making more contacts with people, putting more people in touch with other people that can help them. But that investment in you is paramount. And that can be a book. It can be listening to podcasts. You know, last night, literally, I read a book last night, skimmed through it, got to the bits that I needed, read that, put that down. And I watched a webinar which lasted for 52 minutes, 53 seconds about sales funnels. Okay. So, like, if I can do that, you can do that. And we're closing a lot of business right now, and our sales funnel's really happening, and our mindset is really good. But I'm still pushing the envelope that little bit more, because I want more out of life. So you having that investment in yourself is really, really important. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It could be doing million dollar mastermind. It could be doing a 2-day strategy and implementation intensive here in Spain. It could be just going on webinars and reading books. But you investing in yourself, especially if you've got no money right now, education is the number one thing that you need to be investing in. And even, like, think about this, right? We've got millions of pounds of equity in our property portfolio, and it generates a good income, and we're still educating ourselves on what's the next bit, what's the next bit, what's the next bit, because that's what successful entrepreneurs do. We don't stop, because when you stop, the world catches up to you and destroys you one way or another financially. You've got to keep going, keep moving, keep adapting, keep changing, keep growing. All right, so I hope that's useful for you in today's session. Quite a long one today, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a great day, guys. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.